listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 165. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the dude who did not follow the instructions on t-shirts today, John Brownstone. We're supposed to coordinate, and we do not. And that will only make sense if you can see us on YouTube. Makes no sense for podcast listeners.
No, it didn't. I did not feel
You're
like
rebel.
Changing. Yeah, I didn't feel like changing my damn shirt.
Except this shirt would be cute. It's a favorite shirt. And now all podcast listeners are required to go to YouTube to find out what the hell I'm talking about. This week, we're talking about having different kinds of mindsets in different kinds of kinky scenes and how there is no right or wrong way to do that. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And those reviews really do help on any podcast app you're using. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I still fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Thursday. All links are in the show notes.
I think you just say that now because it's a chance to drop an F-bomb.
I don't really need an excuse to drop an F-bomb. I mean, I could probably do it on every other word of this intro that I do every week. That would be interesting. Do you want to do a big shout out to all of our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest kinky patrons. We've had several people join the fun over the past several weeks, and we just want to let you know we see you, we love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you'd like more of us in different ways, oh, that sounds kinky. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can become a kinky patron for as low as a dollar. Just go to patreon.com/KaylaLords or use the link in the show notes. Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into the actual topic. So that we can, you know, get this show rolling. I don't know. We might repeat some of the things we've said in previous episodes about kinky scenes in general. But for me, the focus is this week more on the headspace, where your mind is at. And I think part of that is because there is sort of this fantasy, and sometimes it happens this way, but this fantasy that a submissive will automatically fall into subspace and they'll go along with whatever, like maybe dirty talk or role play or whatever happens. And it's sort of this ethereal, really floaty kind of thing.
You mean they don't?
Well, you can. I have. But it doesn't always happen that way. And I think for my fellow anxious submissives and bottoms out there, I mostly want you to know that you're not somehow doing something wrong or that things have gone terribly wrong if you don't fall into that headspace. Mm-hmm. But I mostly wanted an excuse to talk about my headspace. I think that's really where we're at. So this past Monday, we went to our local club.
Yes.
For daytime playtime. I'm sure that's not what they call it, but that's what I've been calling it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It's basically a play party that different dungeons and clubs might put on if you have access to one of those. But they do it during the day once a month for people who can't get to a weekend evening party.
Right.
And this was the first one that we went to where there were like lots of other people.
There was a fair group of people there.
And that, from the moment I walked into that, I think I knew that this was not going to be a normal playtime for us. So a couple things. We have been very spoiled with our daytime playtime parties.
Yes.
That we have been the first ones there, or at the very least, the only ones playing. So they ask us, well, what kind of music would you like? And are the lights okay? And we have been very spoiled.
Right.
And had a lot of control over the environment. And the reality is that when you can control your environment, you can kind of play with your headspace, too. Mm-hmm. If you give me low lights and thumping music with a heavy beat, I will go to places that I cannot go to otherwise.
Yeah.
It's part of the feeling that the whole atmosphere produces.
Right. This time, part of it was because the other people that were there were there to do rope scenes.
Right, and so they need light.
So
they need to see what they're doing.
The lights were up. The music was a little bit more on the mellow side. Kind of new agey.
New new agey, jazzy, very mellow, yeah. No lyrics, which I'm okay with no lyrics. Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes no actual beat to it. And yeah. I'm there to get my butt beat. So I like a nice thumping, hard pounding. Right. I want a rhythm.
And I get my little floggers. I start pretending right. I'm a drummer on your butt.
Yes. And so it was funny because once we walked into this,
mm-hmm.
and it is, I won't call it a downside to public play or going to your local club or dungeon, but it is a factor that you cannot always control all of the elements and you right. have to work with what you've got. And once I saw how many people there were, which y'all was not really a lot of people, but I have social anxiety and also I have a personal space bubble and just, it's hard for me. There were enough people that I went, oh, there's a lot of people here. Yep. Now, I'm not opposed to having a scene in front of people. I have an exhibitionist side that really likes that. Like, I'll turn my back to the audience and I'll strip down and I'm perfectly happy to do that. And I'm excited by it and that's part of the fun.
Right.
But realizing that it was such a different atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
in retrospect, I knew I was not going to that nice little fantasy place where you're playing the drums on my butt. Like, I just knew that. And then what was fascinating...
Didn't stop me.
No, you went right into that headspace.
Yes, I did.
And that was the other fascinating thing. This time, which has happened in the past, but this one was very stark. We were in two completely different headspaces.
Uh-huh.
Totally different headspaces. You tried really hard to do that nice dominant growly talk of where are you at.
Well, I didn't try. I did.
Well, you did. Yes, but it did not have the same effect.
Well, it didn't have the effect on you. I was there.
He was there. I was somewhere
you
else.
You didn't come to the party.
I did not. I was having my own party listening to the couple next to us who were doing a rope scene. And I thought, now here's how strange, I guess, a place my head was at, literally while I am in nothing but a thong strapped to a St. Andrew's cross with you using all of your weapons of mass destruction.
Yes, I did.
I'm there and I'm enjoying it and I'm loving it. And at the same time, I am planning today's topic and I am listening to the conversation next to us.
I'm used to it.
Well, yes, I am known to write a blog post while we have sex. I mean, in my head, write a blog post, not like physically.
Yeah,
like,
she doesn't have her laptop there with her.
That would be
awkward.
Awkward. So
hard limit.
And here's the thing. Let's bottom line a little bit of this. The mindset was so different for both of us, and it was such a different atmosphere than we've been in the past. And yet, I think we can both say we still had an excellent time.
Oh yeah,
I had a great time. I had a wonderful mm-hmm. time. It was actually the morning sort of start that I needed. It was, by the time we were done, I was very relaxed. I had been very stressed out and overwhelmed about just life in general before we got there. And then we spent 45 minutes to music that did not do anything to my heart rate, playing with all the toys.
Mm-hmm.
We cuddled on the couch afterwards for our aftercare like we do.
Yep.
I put my clothes back on. We chit-chatted for about 5 minutes, and then we were gone to the next thing we had to do that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And it was absolutely great. But if anybody would think, by looking at what we did, that I was in this fantasy submissive subspace, this headspace of, oh, these things are happening to me, and I've given up all control, and oh, you're right, and my mind has gone spacey. No, 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 no. And I want to make sure people understand that that's not a bad thing. It might be a different thing, but it's not a bad thing. Now, the other thing that I noticed, mm-hmm. and here's how different our headspaces were for this, I was paying attention to the people next door to us. So we're on a St. Andrew's cross. He's in his domliness and like real growly and like, give me a color. And I'm over there going, green, green. Can we keep going? Green. Didn't sound very sexy or submissive at all. And next to us.
Yeah, one time the way you answered got your, got the big paddle out.
I know. I had marks later. It was fucking awesome.
mm-hmm.
You would almost, if you did not know and you were watching from the outside, you would almost say I had gone into a brat mode.
Yeah.
Which was not at all where I was. I was just not in fantasy land.
Which was funny because I just happened to be using the slapstick that had brat.
No idea.
Burned into it. Yeah.
Like, I remember you using the slapstick, and I remember putting it out and even seeing the word brat, but in the middle of it, I had not made the connection that you were using
that. I think subconsciously you did.
Maybe. So next door to us, there's a rope suspension thing. And I'll be quite honest, I thought today's topic was going to be closer to the lines of what's the difference between a dominant and a submissive and a top and a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I hesitate to give those kinds of definitions.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's way too nuanced for that. And we're all on a spectrum. And somebody might take my definition of dominant and go, well, I'm a top, but I use that same definition. So, because here's what was happening next door. Next door, a very experienced rigger was tying up, based on what I could hear of their negotiations, mm-hmm. a total newbie. He wanted the experience of being tied up, but he never had it before. And they had never played before. Now, this was fascinating. It was a little bit like doing like an anthropological like study. Like I was on the sidelines with a notebook going, I must take notes. How does this work? Because all of my negotiations have been very sexually charged, have been centered around relationships, and are, you know, the first time negotiation, it is always a little awkward because you're like, I don't know, what do you like? I don't know, what do you like? But once you kind of get into your rhythm, and this is whether you're in a long-term loving relationship or it's just sort of somebody you play with on occasion, you find a rhythm. And sometimes there's less, I think, that has to be said, and sometimes there might be plenty that has to be said. But this was two people who had already communicated in other places. They arrived there to meet each other to do this. She did the negotiation while everybody's clothes were still on. And then what I found fascinating, because I'd never actually paid attention to it before, was that once she gets him under the suspension thing and she starts pulling out her rope.
The A-frame.
Thank you. See, he's the bondage dude. I'm not. Under the thingy. Okay. It's a technical term. Their communication never stopped. Never stop. Now, I know you weren't paying any attention.
And see, me, you know, listening to this now is fascinating to me.
Oh, yay.
Because once we started our scene,
mm-hmm.
whoever was in the club at that point...
Gone to you.
From my perspective, they no longer existed.
Oh, wow. And I couldn't stop thinking about all of them. All of them.
So, you know, to hear you talking about how you, you know, were able to ascertain that their negotiations continued well into the scene, I find fascinating, because the people sitting over in the social area, them doing the rope scene, to me...
They were gone.
They were not existent at all.
And I'm going to admit something right here, right now. I am envious of that. I'm envious that you had that experience where everything mm-hmm. else fell away, because part of, not all of, but part of the reason I want more kinky scenes, I want, you know, bring out the paddles, tie me to the cross, whatever, is so I can let the rest of the world drop away.
Okay.
And so I can let go of all the external stuff that's usually filling my mind with noise. I want that to go away. I want to have this experience that is about the sensations and the moment and the closeness and all of that. And so if we were newer into this, I would almost classify our play experience, from my perspective, for me, almost as a failure, which is what I don't want people to do. Because, yeah, I want to lose my sense of who's around me. That's what I would really like. But I do not think that anything that we did not meet expectations or standards because of that. Because I still had a really good experience. It was just a different experience.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself where you've had multiple types of scenes, maybe you've been able to control all the variables, maybe you've always played in this place and now you're playing in a different space, or something has changed, and you don't necessarily drop into your typical headspace where you have gone in the past.
Okay.
I don't think that that means that your scene was somehow a failure, that you have missed out on something. I think you just had a new experience, a different kind of experience.
And in all honesty, when we were there last month
mm-hmm.
for our daytime playtime.
Okay. Yes.
There was only one other person in the club besides us
mm-hmm.
who was the dungeon monitor.
Right.
And when we played that time, I was very consciously aware of his presence.
And see, I was not. Yeah. I'm never aware of his presence, though. But he's the dungeon monitor, but we are safe players. So typically when we start playing at clubs, whoever is watching over goes, oh, yeah, they're fine. Mm-hmm. And they just stop worrying about us.
Yeah.
And because he is so unobtrusive, even this last time, very unobtrusive, is not all up in your business. I don't forget about him, the person, but I forget that part. And that
their presence.
Right.
Yeah. And see, last time or the time before now.
Right.
I could not.
And here's.
I could not tune that out.
And that's.
Yet last week or the beginning of this week.
Right. You tuned it off.
There were more people there than we were used to. And I just totally.
And for me, it's less about the people. Now, I was very consciously aware of those people being there. Mm-hmm. There was one table where they were making something with rope. They clearly needed light. Then there was the bondage, the top and the bottom.
They were making paracord floggers.
There you go. But they needed the light.
Yep.
For me, it wasn't about them. The time before, if you recall, I was on the spanking bench.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this last time. On that spanking bench, the way it was positioned, because we chose not to move it,
mm-hmm.
it was like I was looking out at an audience. Even though there was nobody there other than the dungeon monitor.
Yeah.
That threw me off.
Mm.
But I could let go of that because the lights were dim and the music was up. But this time, the lights are up. Music was not my thing.
And even though you were facing completely, you were
that
staring at a wall.
That was my comfort level.
Ah.
That was where my comfort, because
gotcha.
I knew they were behind me. And that's the side of me that's an exhibitionist. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with being watched. I do not want to watch you watch me. I don't want that. That's too much. Because I might make eye contact and I can't do that.
Oh, gosh.
So, because see, if my back's turned and you're watching me, mm-hmm. I can imagine how people are responding. And in my imagination, they respond well. I don't want to know the reality. The reality will not match up to my fantasy. But that's part of it. Like, normally we sort of sink into these headspaces where you're all growly and I'm all breathy and it's just this this moment to play and to let go. And this time you were in it and I was accidentally, not intentionally, bratty sounding. If you did not know, and you wouldn't, from the outside looking in, you'd be like, good Lord, she's like kind of snarly. I distinctly remember you going, give me a color. And I'm like, green. Like, we haven't even gotten close to anything yet.
The
can you snark keep going?
Is strong with this one.
And that's another thing about the headspace, though. And this happened the time before as well, but this one was very stark. What I desperately wanted was for you to just hit me really hard with thuddy things because it felt like a deep tissue massage.
Yeah.
And what I desperately wanted more than anything was a deep tissue massage called a spanking. So what did happen in my mindset, and I don't know if this is because I identify as a baby girl. I do not know if this would happen to anybody else regardless. If you don't identify on the little spectrum, maybe this still happens to you too. I loved the deep thuddy, even when they hurt. Like, there was one when you took the big long paddle and went all the way across my ass. I mean, I can just imagine you were like Louisville Slugger. Like, that was how it felt. It was so intense that I think that was the one time I nearly screamed. And then that was the other thing. Knowing the people were around, I tried to keep my voice down. I'm a screamer. No, they're shocked by that. And I was conscious of the fact that there were other people around, and that's not okay to like disrupt the whole room. You know, so there was that. But what would happen is when you would bring out the stingy things, it interrupted my mental flow of, oh God, this feels so good. This feels like a massage.
Yeah.
And it made me cranky. Like, it made me want to cry and pout. And I did pout. And I did go, no, daddy, no, no, no. And I meant that shit. But it, like, my little girl feelings that I know sometimes get triggered by different things, those were right there. Like, I was ready to start crying and say, I don't want to play this game anymore if you're going to do that. You want to talk about not being in a typical kinky mindset. That is not where I go. And here's what was happening. I'm having that thought, and at the same time, I'm going, and the lights are too bright, and the music sucks, and this just isn't even fun, and I didn't sleep well last night. All of that, all in my head.
Wow.
At the same time.
Wow.
Yes, and it took me going, you need to calm the fuck down, self, to realized that, whoa, this is our one chance out of the entire month. We won't even get to go in March because we'll be in London.
Right.
London wins, by the way, but still we won't get to go to the play party. All of the elements are not perfect, but Jesus Christ, I am here nearly naked, strapped to a St. Andrew's cross. Really, what more can I fucking want? Like, gain some damn perspective, Kayla. sort of what I had to do. And then I could, but there was still whining. I really still did not want the stingy things at all. But I never want the stingy things.
No.
I want deep impact. I want thuddy impact. That's my jam. And that was 45 minutes of a mindset.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I am not intentionally, like, I'm not craning my neck to listen to the people next to us, but in those quiet moments, he's grabbing a new toy. I've gotten control of my own damn emotions, you know, whatever. I can hear them. And it was fascinating. So they are having their own very legitimate scene. And it is a top-bottom situation. They are not in an active, ongoing relationship at that point, mm-hmm. but he was getting a new experience that he wanted. She was getting to be the one to provide that experience. And it was fascinating because I am very used to this deep, sexy language. Some part of a sexual fantasy will come out, even if it's very subtle and it's just in the tone or a soft mm-hmm. touch or whatever. And that exchange between them, regardless of how they felt about it, because there's no way I can know that, was very utilitarian. She's like, okay, I'm going to do this with the rope. Now move. Can you move? Oh, good. If you can lay back, go ahead and lay back. Let me check that. And now we're going to do this. And then, because he was new, and this is somebody you know and admire the rigor.
Yeah.
She was going through everything and explaining to him there was going to be no question about what he was experiencing and how this worked and what she was doing. And it was one of those things where I was fascinated by it because it was the quintessential idea of what I would imagine two people who've never played in any way, shape, or form before coming together and mm-hmm. making that happen and having that new experience. It was constant communication, constant consent. He was mostly quiet. I heard her more than anything. He was mostly quiet, but when we got done and I was on the couch and he was still up there getting new ropey things done, because, you know, I'm not really into that technical term. He had this look on his face. He was very calm. He was very relaxed. Mm-hmm. And she's still keeping up steady. Okay, here's what we're doing. And okay, I need you to move. And okay, I'm going to do this now. Okay, feel that. How does that feel? And she's actively requesting feedback. And while that would likely drive me nuts if John Brownstone and I did it, I'd be like, I love you so much. Please stop talking. That was a perfect moment. And I don't know what they were thinking at the same time. I'm not even trying to speak for them. But from an outsider looking in, I'm like, oh my God, I think that's like textbook, classic. These two people, they're not in a long-term loving relationship. They're coming together for this moment, right, to experience this moment, to offer an experience to each other for somebody who wants to learn and somebody who's experienced. And here we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still a legitimate kinky scene. Had, you know, none of that fantasy stuff we often think about, especially if we're in long-term loving relationships or very sexual relationships. And it was, and that's, I'm strapped to the St. Andrew's cross going, we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this outside of that sort of airbrushed porn, you know, everything's always perfect. The music is perfect and the lighting is perfect and we say the right thing and we think the right, air quote, right thing, whatever that might be. And this is reality, and this is different types of reality all going on at one time.
Right.
And especially when I contrasted that in my head with how we normally are and how I normally feel in a scene and how we normally react to each other. We usually feed off of each other in a scene. And it is a true energy exchange. And those are my favorite. I don't care if I go to subspace. I don't care about anything. When we have that energy exchange, you can feel it. Like, he does a thing and I respond. And then he does a thing in response to my response. And it's just this back and forth, give and take. I think we had a version of that, but it was
to a certain extent.
It was not the same thing at all.
No.
At all this last time.
And that's fine. In the end, we both got what we needed out of it, mm-hmm. which is really what matters.
And I think that is the thing that I want to point out, because some people keep their scenes at home and some people go out and play and some people do both. And even when the activities are essentially the same, it can and will be different every time. And because there's no one right way to experience a scene, there is only the way that feels good to you and your partner. I guess I want to make it clear that it can go the complete opposite of a plan, the complete opposite of the way you've been thinking about it and dreaming about it and fantasizing about it, and it can still be damn good. It might not be what you expected, mm-hmm. but it was still damn good.
Well, anytime you go into a scene thinking that, oh, I want to recreate what happened last time, it's not going to happen, because the circumstances are different. The nuances are different. The barometric pressure is different. You know,
Light bulbs are different. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there right. are subtle things mm-hmm. that can affect everything. The state of mind going into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's never the same.
Your own expectations can mess. I don't want to say mesh up, but can change things. So if you go in thinking, okay, this is what it was like last time, and so this is what it will be like this time, and then it's not. Even having that expectation and then not having that expectation met can change how you view what's happening to you.
Right.
We talked about this before and after, but I came about this close, not very close, or very, very close podcast listeners, to saying, let's not go at all. I was so tired. I had barely slept. It had just been a rough night after a rough weekend going into what I knew was going to be a long week. I was overwhelmed by my to-do list. Like, there were just all these things. And the thing that stopped me was I knew how much you were looking forward to it. And there was no way I wanted to be the one to disappoint and go, I'm really not feeling it. I also kind of knew that no matter what happened, it would still be good. So as long as I communicated if there was a problem, as long as we were paying attention to each other and not worrying about our outsized expectations of what we hope to get from the moment, that even if it wasn't what either of us were mentally planning and envisioning, it could still be good. And I went, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this and it's fine because we won't get this chance again for a while. And okay. And then even though my entire experience of that scene was unlike most that we've had, mm-hmm. certainly at a club. At home, I get like this because there's dishes to do and there's kids in bed. And
right.
there's all these other like...
things pulling at you.
Right. And distractions and things you have to think about. And you're in a space where you think about those things. That makes more sense to me that it would happen at home. But even though it was completely unlike anything we've done in a club recently, it was still good. And then we came home and he's like, pull down your pants. Because of course, and I've got marks on my ass, like a cane mark, a big old thick, beautiful. I don't know if it's still there now. I haven't looked at my butt lately, but big old thick, beautiful cane mark. I was like, I do not like the cane, but I'm glad we went because I wouldn't have this if we didn't, if we hadn't done it. And I know we're just one couple in one play session. So that's the other thing. Every single one of these will be a little bit different. But I think for me, that's the point, that there is no right way to experience this. There is the way you want and the way you need and what feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, then that's not right. But if I think we need to, and we meaning me, okay, I'm talking to myself here. I think we need to let go of our expectations of what we think it's supposed to be. And accept what it is. And as long as it feels good and everything's within boundaries and everything's consensual, enjoy the experience we're having. Because I assure you, listening to that rope bottom and rigger interacting, I don't know them. I couldn't point them out on the street. But the way they were talking and the energy that they were exchanging in that very professional way, you could feel the energy of, we both want to be here and this is exactly what we right. want to be doing right now. And that's an amazing energy to feel. And there was no sexy, kinky language. There was no nudity. There was a rigger messing with her rope, doing ropey things.
Right.
And a brand new rope bottom going, I'm fucking experiencing this for the first time. And their conversation was very professional and very matter of fact, because it was all based on the thing they were doing. And it was none of what I think many of us associate with a kinky scene. But in proximity to that, there was an energy exchange.
Yeah.
And their energy exchange is equally as valid as any other type of energy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a good scene. Is it a scene right. that I might like? No, but it doesn't have to be. That was a good kinky scene and their mindset. And our scene was not how I would have anticipated it. It's not how I would imagine it in my head. It's not how we usually are. And it was still fucking good.
Yeah. Because each time is unique.
Yes, absolutely.
In its own way, in its own personality.
Yes. And I think that's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
This week. I don't think I have anything more to say about that.
Really?
I know. Do you have things to say about that?
I don't think so. I think I interspersed myself in between here and there.
That sounds kinky. That sounds kinky. That sounds very kinky. I will say that you have to do what's right for you and your comfort level.
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity to ever go to a public space, a dungeon, a club, even a party with people you trust and they trust you, maybe mm-hmm. at a home or something, at the very least, go if you can. There is never, and there should never be, a requirement or an expectation that you play publicly just because you
and,
go.
And there isn't.
Not at publicly run things,
no,
for certain.
That's true.
Nobody, like, walking in does not mean you've just agreed that you're going to go do a thing in front of everybody.
Right.
Not at all. But if you have the opportunity and you haven't just gone to see what it's like, I recommend that. One, being there around those other people who are playing, there is an energy you can get off of that. Like, you can sort of feel it emanating, like this give and take.
And it's fascinating to watch.
It is, because you watch how other people play.
Yeah.
You watch how other people interact with each other. You should not try and draw conclusions from it, because
no.
you don't know the details and the inner workings
right.
and all that. But it does give you another view of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are curious about public play or want to try it, I would imagine you could probably ask any club person who runs a club or is there to work, like, the front door, and say, what's the quietest time? You know, when are the least amount of people here?
Yeah.
And plan for that time. But even then, it's not mm-hmm. a requirement. I mean, we have taken friends to local clubs. We're like, oh, we're going to show you what a local club is. And they, poor things, their anxiety got the best of them, because they thought the expectation was that if you go, you play.
No.
And since there was no way they were going to do that, they were like, I don't even want to go at all. And it was like, oh, okay.
No,
it's always your choice.
Back in the day, before I met you, I used to go to the club, and I did not go to play. I just went to hang out and socialize.
A lot of people
do. And there were a lot of people, especially on weekends, on a Friday, Saturday night when the club is open, they don't go there to play. They go to hang out and socialize mm-hmm. and just be around folks, you know.
Exactly. So if you are ever given that opportunity, single mm-hmm. or in a relationship, whatever your comfort
right.
level is, I encourage it. I encourage it just to go and sort of be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
But don't, please disabuse yourself of the idea
yeah.
that if you go to a space like that the expectation is you're supposed to play, because that is not the
true.
Expectation.
And
if somebody tells you you're supposed to, they are full of fucking shit.
Yeah. And, you know, if you say, oh, well, I'm a single person, I know what happens at clubs when you go, you know, you're constantly hit on and, you
especially
know,
if
never
you're
left
female
alone.
Submissive,
right.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the case.
Not everywhere.
Not everywhere with
and
a DS dungeon, a well-run dungeon. If you go as a single person and, you know, it's about consent.
Right.
And
they've got
if,
rules in place, and they look out for newer people. They
right.
know if they've never seen you
exactly.
before. They know if you're a new member.
They will introduce you to the dungeon monitor. If there is anybody that's bothering you,
dungeon monitor will take
care
of that
shit. Dungeon monitor
will
take care of that in a heartbeat.
And if you find yourself in a club where they are not doing the things as we describe them, get out.
Yeah.
Leave. Do not put yourself in that space if
but,
you can help
it. In a DS dungeon, BDSM dungeon, that is one of the places where no means no, and it's respected.
What I've loved about the three clubs, the one that's no longer around, the one we go to now, and the one we will be going to when we move, is that their rules are like explicit and posted, and there's no doubt.
Yeah.
There is no, I didn't know. Yeah, you fucking knew.
Yeah.
So the good dungeons work very hard to keep people safe.
Well, I know the one we currently go to, when we renewed our membership because things had changed, one of the things they did was give us a sheet of all the club rules, and we had to read it and initial it that we read it and understood them.
Oh, yes. They were not playing.
No.
So, yeah, if you ever get that opportunity or you've been thinking about it, I absolutely highly recommend it. Just to go and observe, you will soak up so much more. You will learn so much more. You will meet people. You will, just like going to a munch where you realize, oh shit, I'm not the only one who likes hamburgers and kink. You'll go, oh, look at that person over there who likes spanking. And oh, wow, they're being tied up. And
burgers and kink?
Oh, that should be our new business venture.
I'm hungry now.
Me too. Okay, so that is... Y'all know I could keep talking. But I am going to come over to the live stream and
surprise.
Who is here watching and say hi. And if there are any questions and you're on the live stream, now is the time to type them into the chat thing. We will answer them. Hi, Heather. Hi, Kathleen. Hi,
hello.
Benjamin.
And little Max.
Benjamin has the best comment. He says, I'll happily strut around local club with his hanging out, but in a conversation freak out. Yeah. No, can't. I can do it with people I'm comfortable with. And I am much more comfortable in our local community now. I think we talked about, when did we talk about this? We talked about it with our last munch, and I don't remember what that recording was. But I was kind of holding court. I was sort of talking to everybody.
Oh, just this past time.
This is the past time. Ooh, time of heart.
Mm-hmm.
With Kathleen, I have many times when I was newer to playing in front of people, I needed a blindfold too.
Yeah.
Now, as long as I'm facing the wall, I'm good. I like a blindfold. It's a fun way to play, but it does help. And little Max, hello. So nice to see you. So yeah, thank you guys for watching. This one is a shorter topic than normal.
But I think a good topic. People need to understand that, you know, every scene is different. It's not going to be the same. It's neither here nor there, you know, as far as, you know, being bad or good. Each one is good in its own way.
Right. A bad scene is usually very clearly bad.
Bad. I mean, if you know, let's face it, what we do, you know, the things that we do, there is always the possibility of somebody getting hurt, unfortunately.
Right.
But it is something you have to be aware of. You know, that's why they coined the term RAC, risk-aware consensual kink.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it could be something as simple as a leg cramp, a muscle spasm, you know.
We were getting kinky here at home the other day, and I got a leg cramp.
And you got a leg cramp.
It's not my finest
moment. but it happens. Those things happen that can ruin a scene. But you know what? We've had those things happen, and, you know, we took care of it, stopped the scene, made sure everything was okay, worked through it. And now those things, you know, we laugh about it.
We
chuckle about it.
And I usually just shake off a cramp. I'll go, stop, hold on. Right. I got to stretch my leg. And I'll then do the stretch, make the cramp go away. I'm like, okay, we can good. We can keep going and keep going.
So.
And that is the benefit of playing with the same person often, whether it's in a long-term relationship or it's just somebody you hook up with at the club or whenever you get the chance, the more you play together, the more you learn each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get into different headspaces and you can try different things and you still have to communicate and consent, but you can use sort of shortcut language and you don't have to be necessarily as explicit. And that isn't the nice factor in it. And hello, Buttercup Faith.
Hi, Buttercup.
I did not want you to think I did not see you.
And Benjamin, you know, I'm going to... reading your thing, it made me think that, well, you know, a stranger is just a friend or acquaintance you haven't met yet.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk to strangers.
Yeah,
either.
I know. You have.
And you know what? Okay, so here's what's hilarious about this. As Kayla Lords, kinky person, I am in positions to talk to strangers all the time, and I can do it in most settings. At a munch, like the munch we hosts, we can call it that for now, I feel it's important to talk to everybody. So I do, even though it's very difficult for me. Something about the club, though, I am there. I'm not there as Kayla Lortz. Now, if I was at the club to give a presentation or a class, I'm going to talk to everybody. That's just what you do. Yeah. But when we're there to play, I am there as John Brownstone Submissive. That is my role. And John Brownstone Submissive does not like to talk to strangers at all. Just please don't ask me to do it. I would like to be the silent one in the background who's making no eye contact and just doing what her daddy tells her to do. That makes me very happy. Okay, so we are going to go ahead and go into our bonus section. Bonus. So the actual topic for the day or week is done. That is weird.
I know.
Will we make up for all the time with the bonus section? I hope not. I don't really want to talk for 30 more minutes about just me.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
Okay.
But it could happen.
Right. Yeah, you never know. All right.
Okay. Are we ready?
I think so.
Okay.
Are we good?
As good as we're ever going to be.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Yes, we will see you. Dates are difficult.
Yes.
Dates are difficult because we're going to be on a hiatus for 2 weeks.
Correct.
Because we're going to go to London. And I love y'all. I'm not recording episodes in London. We might record video in London, though.
Yes.
We might record video. I have some video I need to edit together to do a thing that we're doing that we told our kinky patrons about.
We haven't formally announced it yet.
We won't until that one comes out.
But it's something we're
working on.
Playing
and
with.
If it works, we're going to do more of it in London.
Yes.
So we did get mail this week. We actually got one thing I have not opened yet, but I know what it is. We got a sex toy.
Yes.
For John Brownstone to try. A new one from Hot Octopus. And I'm already
And I love Hot Octopus.
Oh, I know. Other people have already started trying it. They just launched it a few days ago, maybe a week ago. And reviews are starting to come out and people are fucking loving this thing. It is a it is a toy for penises, so I will benefit from his excitement, but that's probably about it. So we did get that mail, but I have not opened it yet.
And I'm looking forward to seeing them in London.
I know.
They're going to be there again this year. Yeah.
Yes. So, and they're a sponsor of Eroticon. Love them there too. But we also got, I just checked this morning,
we got
a postcard. Let's see, I'm going to try and make this so you can see it in the camera. If you are listening on the podcast, I will take a picture and put it on Instagram so you can see it there. And it is from somebody we've talked to through FetLife, at Dom_CA. He sent this from Germany, where he's on vacation, and then but lives in the U.S., so... It says, hi guys, Kayla answered a question I had about service submission, and I thought I'd send you a postcard. Thank you. The photo shows a view of the small city of, you know I'm going to butcher this, right? I'm going to say the city name wrong. It's a small city in Germany, and I don't want to butcher the name.
Nürtingen?
Yes, I'll let you butcher it. Where I spent most of my childhood and where my parents still live. I didn't discover kink until I moved to the U.S. in 2016. The story is on their FetLife blog. So, like I said, Dom_CA. And it's been a crazy ride since then. Preach it. We totally get it. And I'm so much happier now. I discovered you guys recently, and I love your podcast. Yay! Keep it kinky. And, yeah. So, there. Thank you. We got a postcard. So, I will admit to being... I mean, I know I'm different and out there. I'm aware.
Yeah.
I am,
love you anyway.
I am already dreaming of when we get the new P.O. box.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure we could go get it now if we want to, but it's hard to check it. It's 2 hours away.
A little difficult
I wouldn't be able to check it
yeah.
on a regular basis. But yes, I'm already ready to start changing our address.
Why am I not surprised about that?
You know what? You and I have talked about this. We have been planning this move.
Yes.
For so long, I'm ready to just be freaking done with it. I do also, before we get... into too much.
Okay.
Patreon shout out to our shout out tier, Kalina and Jay. Jay has probably the best Patreon name I've seen in a while. Conduit of Queerness itself. Way to know yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking amazing. So thank you for being our kinky patrons at the shout out level. If you're interested, want to know what the hell we're talking about, patreon.com/Kayla Lortz. All the info's there. We have stuff going on, but most of it's business stuff, and we have the behind the scenes business podcast episode to record for Patreon. So what are we doing at home other than getting gray hair, waiting for, to be ready to start doing the move stuff and not finishing the household projects to get the house ready to sell? I'm not helping.
No, you're not helping.
I'm not giving you a look because you've done something. I'm making it clear that I have not been active in this.
No. Well, the kitchen is painted.
Yes, the walls
are painted. Walls. And put back together.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I will be hanging the last light fixture, new light fixture, and they're taking down that old ceiling fan.
Mm-hmm. Replacing there was a ceiling fan in our kitchen, and just awful.
I'm neither one way or the other about it. But taking that down and then painting the ceiling.
Yeah, we got to paint the ceiling.
Yeah.
And, I say we, like I'll be participating. We'll not be participating.
Yeah, you'll be there. How do you say it?
Metaphor. In spirit?
In spirit, thank you.
Yeah, probably not. I'll be doing other things.
Yeah, I know. But, I'm looking forward to getting that kitchen project behind me. I hate kitchens.
I know. I know. And we still have some stuff to do in the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And then our big project after London is we've got to... So we are in a small condo, two bedroom, two bath. Mm-hmm. We were happy with it when we bought it. We understood what we were getting. We try to keep our life as clutter-free as possible. But the reality is in 900 and some odd square feet, eventually you run out of room and things start stacking up.
Yes.
And to have your home... One, we're going to have it professionally cleaned before the pictures get taken.
The listings, yeah.
And two, you want it to be as clutter-free as possible for a potential buyer to come in and kind of be able to see the place and not see all your junk. So because we don't have any storage space, because it's such a small space, we're going to be getting a storage unit in the town we're going to move into and start shuttling things that way.
Yep.
So when we get back from London, we have to finish up the bathroom stuff and some of the touch-up paint around the condo. And then we have to start combing through all the stuff we don't want to keep anymore to give that to like Goodwill or wherever.
Which we've already started doing in a small extent. Yeah.
And then we have to start packing up all of like the extra clutter crap that doesn't really... The tchotchkes, as I call them. I don't know if you consider your album collection tchotchkes, but I do. And so then we'll start shuttling that a couple of hours away and get a storage unit set up. So we have like... a lot to do, but we are in a weird holding pattern because we are right now preparing. I'm preparing to be off of work for like, I think it was like 11 or 12 days is what I counted up for our trip to Eroticon and then the travel surrounding the trip to Eroticon.
Yes.
And that's a lot of work. And then I took on some work projects because I don't know how to say no, because I like money. Let's just be clear here. If they're like, hey, Kayla, we'll pay you if you'll do this thing. I'm like, pay me. We're in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
And that is very frustrating.
And just real quick, Ace joined in and they said their first visit, they enjoyed the openness and kinky talk.
Yay.
And that's something that, you know, you will find there and you can, embrace that. That's the place for it to be yourself. Ah, okay. Yes, I know. Okay. Welcome.
Okay. Other people don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Somebody from Kinkspace.
Somebody from Kinkspace, yes.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. So, So now we're just in this really weird, mundane, vanilla holding pattern of being ready to be ready to move, but not being able to do much because we have all these other things we have to do.
And I've been busting my butt in the shop.
I know. Work-related stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because after... we get back, then that's got to be all put in storage as well.
We are all about to find out... what withdrawal looks like from a kinky wood turner when he cannot play with his wood for probably 2 months. 2 months of no wood turning.
Yeah, that's going to be...
I'll probably just walk out into the garage and see him just standing there shuffling around wood in a box or something.
I'll just be laying on the floor writhing.
Ooh, we'll have a daddy dom temper tantrum. We'll have a daddy dom temper tantrum. Finally, it won't be just me. That's all I'm saying. So I think that's it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I don't know what to do with myself when we don't go on and on for an hour. Sorry, y'all.
Oh, that's too funny.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it for me. Okay. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Is it next week? We'll have two more weeks of regular schedule.
Yeah.
And then I think the last day will be March 7th. So that's in two mm-hmm. weeks. That'll be our last one. Then we'll take about 2 weeks off.
Right.
From everything. YouTube, podcast, mm-hmm. probably the blog too, like everything. And then we'll come back.
Come back.
When we're back and we'll share and do all
and
that
we'll,
stuff.
And we'll probably end up taking a short hiatus for the move.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But that's yet to be determined when it'll be. But,
yeah, and we will just be prepared. I mean, not that we haven't been talking about this for like several months now, but the closer we get to it, the more we will not be able to stop talking about this stuff.
Right, I know.
You will get so tired of hearing about our damn move, you'll be ready for us to move. I understand.
We will see you next time.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.